Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We haven't seen a run on consumer products like this since the beginning of the pandemic. The difference is this run is on gasoline, not Lysol, toilet paper, and paper towels. The Colonial Pipeline, which sends fuel from Texas to New Jersey, is back up and running after it was shut down due to a cyber attack. But that's cold comfort for those still waiting in long lines for much more expensive gasoline. We are talking about the impact of this mini gas crisis and what you need to do and stop doing to manage it. My guests are John Townsend, manager of public and government relations for AAA Mid-Atlantic, and economist Dr. Christopher Daniels, and of course you may be in line right now listening to this, waiting for your turn to get some gas. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Daniels, thanks for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Harold. Always great to be with you.
Absolutely. Are you still working from home, so you don't need any gas, right?
I don't.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, how about that? You know, let's talk about this, John, because this, I call this a mini gas crisis, although some people may take exception to that term, because this cyber hack of the Colonial Pipeline, it just happened. It's not a week old.
It's not.
And yet it has turned America on its ear. We have seen all kinds of craziness at the pump, and I'm not just talking about the gas prices. We have seen fights. We have seen people fueling up not only their cars, but putting gas in tanks and plastic bags and trash bags. Have we lost our minds all of a sudden?
That's exactly it. This is the fear factor kicking in. And what you have is panic buying and people trying to hoard gasoline. It's almost as if there was a hurricane declaration out or tornado declaration in the weather forecast or a major snowstorm. And people just went out and started panic buying, and there was no need for it because we had ample supply. You mentioned a moment ago, Harold, that the Colonial Pipeline serves 14 states, including the District of Columbia, from the southeast all the way up to New Jersey. But there's another major pipeline that runs through both states and services the district also, and that is the Plantation Pipeline. So the Colonial Pipeline furnishes 45% of the nation's, not of the region's supply. So we could have handled this. We could have gotten through this, but we lapsed into a thing called panic buying. And panic buying is like a feeding frenzy by sharks, where fear feeds on itself and it destroys everything in its path. And that's what happened. You mentioned the fist fights. You mentioned people. I'm trying not to be judgmental. I'm trying to be nice.
Okay? Go ahead.
I'm trying to be like Harold Fisher and be dignified around here. Okay?
I don't know about that. But
but can you imagine that you'll be so, see, I almost slipped again,
see?
So nutty that you could think you could put gas in a plastic bag? That's like trying to grab a tiger by his tail. It's foolishness.
Yeah.
It's a lack of common sense, but that's what fear does.
Yeah.
That's what fear does.
And we have a late report today of a Hummer, you know, that civilian version of the Humvee that
yes.
burst into flames because someone had improperly stored gasoline that they filled up with at the pump. But Dr. Daniels, talk to me about the money piece here, because we have seen gas prices skyrocket over the past several days, 5, 10, even 15%. I mean, these gas prices are looking like the gas prices of 2008 and 2009 in some parts of the country. Why did this happen?
Right. And, you know, it's a really crazy situation, actually, because there was not, as he was saying, there was not a shortage, but we created a shortage by panic buying. So now that there's so much gas going out and, you know, not so much coming in, now the prices have to go up because it's just basic supply and demand. And the problem with that is that we're going to see big price increases. We've already seen price increases in almost everything, in food, in lumber, and a lot of other supplies. But now, due to this increase in gas, now we're going to start seeing increases in other prices, right?
Why is that?
So across the – well, you know, because everything has to get transported, right? So wherever, you know, whatever product we have, it has to get transported from point A to point B. And the cost, one of the major costs of transportation is gasoline. So one of the things that we saw, like, kind of when the pandemic first started was that a lot of people, you know, we have a lot of Uber drivers, a lot of people doing Uber Eats, a lot of delivery people. So a lot of people right now are dependent on being able to drive for their livelihood. So, like, you know, many of us who, I guess you could say, work traditional jobs, you know, a lot of us are working from home, or we have the option to work from home. However, if you're an Uber driver, if you're a truck driver, if you're, you know, a different type of driver, you have to absorb that cost. So that cost is inevitably going to get passed on to the consumer over time. So that's the biggest issue that we're going to see now, is that consumers are going to have to end up absorbing this additional cost of higher fuel.
And I would imagine, I'll use myself as an example. So I commute from Baltimore to D.C. every day. It's 100 miles round trip. And right. And as a result, I fill up about twice a week, sometimes a little more. But I've already noticed an increase in my gasoline fees. It doesn't cost, a month ago, it didn't cost me $43 to fill up. It was approximately $32. And so now I'm at a, you know, $11 more. So that really kind of cancels out, you know, my Happy Meal or my Royal Farms chicken stop. And I think, and, you know, all jokes aside, $11 is just $11 unless it's $11 twice a week, which is $22, or $11 two and a half times a week, which is now $27, which is close to a full tank of gas that I was spending last month.
Right. And you know, the thing about the cost is, I always tell it like this, right? So when you look at it through the individual's perspective, you know, an extra $20, depending on the person, may or may not be a lot. But however, when you spread that across the economy, what it does is it makes someone make another choice, right? So instead of spending that $20 at maybe the corner store or buying lunch or doing this, I'm spending it on gas. So what it's doing is it's taking money out of the economy, right? So now the person can count on you to come to buy a sub every day, or to come, you know, buy a drink after work, or you know, whatever. Now that money's not going into it; it's going into fuel. So it's not creating additional employment. It's not sustaining employment. It's damaging the economy because you're spending too much of your money, or spending more of your money on essentials. And the more you spend on it is not leading to more employment. So it's not growing the economy. So that's one of the major damaging pieces when you start having people having to redirect large portions of their salary or their earnings towards essentials like gas or utilities or other things like that. It has a damaging effect on the economy because they have less discretionary income.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about this mini gas crisis that we are in the midst of as a result of the Colonial Pipeline cyber hack. As a matter of fact, it was reported also today that the Colonial Pipeline Company did pay those cyber hackers $5 million.
Wow.
That, again, just reported today, which, you know, allows them to get things up and running again. What have you experienced over the past several days at the pump, whether it's the high cost of gas or some unusual activity from your neighbors and people in your community as they try to make sure that they have enough gas to get to where they're going? Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, John, I just got a tweet from dude in the office, Briscoe underscore Reggie. And Reggie says, the main reason for the run on gas is the media not explaining the whole picture. Hence, the Plantation Pipeline, which that's a whole different conversation with the name of that, and reserves at the gas loading terminals in our area, not to mention Baltimore does not use pipelines. Is the media partially responsible for this, John?
Well, I think the media informed people about the shutdown, and it was such an unusual breach of security at the pipeline because it was done by hackers. It was a cyber attack. It is something that people have been warned about for years. And like Humphrey Bogart, as it was said in the movie Casablanca, round up the usual suspects. We knew this was the Russians doing this, and true enough, that's the way it turned out. And it's Putin's doing, and I think that's why it captured national and international headlines. But then people went into a panic mode. And so we had in this country over 10,000 gas stations that ran out of gasoline. Even today, Harold Fisher, I call you like the way your mother used to call you by your whole name, right?
Oh, Lord.
So we're seeing 70% of the gas stations in the District of Columbia that are without gas. We're seeing a third of all gas stations in the state of Maryland that are without gas. And even now, going into the evening hours, more than 50% of all gas stations in the state of Virginia are without gas. And it is, if Virginia was the epicenter of this situation in terms of running out of gas, and it is this feeding frenzy that we were talking about, and the economist was saying a moment ago, this is all born by panic, to use your words, Harold, or by panic buying. And it is uncalled for. But it is, in my estimation, human nature and the times that we live in, that people will respond in this way. Now, it's not, it has something to do with IQ. My son, I was sitting, working from home today, and I see someone going out the front door, and then he comes back in, and he goes out with a gas can. And I said, wait a minute, fellow. This is my oldest one. Where are you going? He said, I'm going to get gas. I didn't get any last night. My car's on empty. I said, but why are you carrying that gas can? He said, because I may run out of gas. I said, John, you're only going a mile. You're not going to run out of gas. But the fear factor made him carry. I may run out of gas, so I need to carry in case I have to walk to the gas station to get gasoline.
Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about this mini gas crisis that we are in the midst of as a result of the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack. Let's go to Carla calling from San Antonio, Texas. Carla, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know that, gas is always really cheap down here in Texas. But I just traveled over the weekend to Wisconsin and Chicago and needed to rent a car from Milwaukee to drive around in Wisconsin. And you have the option of, if you don't want to return the car with a full tank of gas, you can pay whatever the rental car place says is the price per gallon. And the crisis wasn't going on when I picked up my car. So I asked them, how much is it per gallon for gas? And they said, well, we're charging $2.89.
Okay.
Which is much more expensive than in Texas. When I left to go on vacation, it was only $239 down here. And I thought, well, $289 is a little expensive. I'll just return the car with a full tank of gas. So while I had the car, the crisis happened. I get down to Chicago to return my car and forgot to fill up. So I pull up to the airport and I said, hey, I forgot to fill up with gas. So what happens now? And they said, well, if you don't fill up with gas, we're going to charge you $10 a gallon.
Woo! Oh my God.
And I was like, holy smokes, I'm going to go to the nearest gas station. Thank you very much. So in Chicago, the closest gas station to O'Hare was already like $3.69. And I was like, oh my God. So I fill up the tank. It took $60.
Wow.
To fill up, I had some Jeep pickup truck thing. Now I'm back in Texas and the price went from, like I said, before I left, it was $2.30. Now it's up to like $2.69. I use an app that will tell you where the cheapest gas is in your area. And so I went out of my way to try and get gas for $2.39.
Well, Carla, I thank you for chatting with us. If you can mail me some gas from Texas, I would really appreciate it. Wow.
Well, that gas station was out of gas, unfortunately.
We'll see.
So
there you go.
I have to pay the higher fees.
Yeah. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the impact of the Colonial Pipeline hack. Richard calling from Maryland. We're going to talk to you. Do not hang up. Stay on the line. You will be able to hear the program. And if you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. We will take your phone call. We're going to take a break, but don't forget you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Inside segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Or don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the impact of this mini gas crisis caused by the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack and what you need to do and stop doing to manage it. My guests are John Townsend, Manager of Public and Government Relations for AAA Mid-Atlantic, and economist Dr. Christopher Daniels. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Richard, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Richard. What's on your mind?
Yes, I want to know, why did all the owners of these gas stations did not limit a gas price for each car, like 30 gallons? You have nearly put the people that live in Suitland, from Auction Hill, blue-collar working people who depend on their vehicles every day to go back and forth to work. They had no, I mean, we don't have no gas station in our area from one side of Maryland, of Auction Hill, on back to, I would say, the district height, maybe Hand Springs, whatever, but there are no gas stations. Everything has a bag over.
Yeah,
you gonna tell me why didn't the owners take consideration and say, look, we're gonna limit 30 gallons for each vehicle so we can get these people back and forth? We're just getting back on our feet. Now you gonna do this to us?
Yeah, Dr. Daniels, Richard makes a really good point, because there are some gas station owners in the DMV that have posted signs that will instruct you know, the car owners, truck owners, what have you, that you're limited to X amount of gallons, but certainly that is at their discretion. But I think what Richard says is it paints a picture, a broader picture of where we are right now and the economic impact.
Right. I mean, he really hit on a key point, and something that I think that has to be said is that you just need better leadership in situations like this, right? If there really is a shortage of gas or a projected shortage of gas, and you know people need gas to get to work, people need gas to, you know, for essentials, you have to limit the amount that people can get. You can't allow people to fill up, you know, drums with gasoline, to fill up four or five cars. I mean, it's just really ridiculous, right? And it just takes the leadership from the governor level, from the local level, from, you know, the different levels, to make sure that happens.
Richard, thank you so much for your phone call. Be safe out there. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Beverly, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Beverly. What's on your mind?
Oh, good evening. I just have a comment to make about the panicking, which always occurs around this time of the year when everybody wants to drive and travel. But also, government said we had the COVID, and now they're lifting all the restrictions. Everybody wants to get out there and travel. So I think it's all a bunch of hype. And I really, you know, it was like the guy was saying, everybody panicking. But actually, we go through this every year. And people were crying about getting this vaccination, but we had to get the vaccination for the measles, the mumps, and everything. There's a lot of panic going on, but still, the rich are getting richer. I think we all just need to sit back, stop buying all the toilet paper, not trying to put gas in Tupperware containers, and just relax.
Okay. Beverly, thank you so much. John, I want to go back to something that was said in the tweet that I received. What are news organizations, what is the media missing? What haven't they explained? Because a lot of people say the supposed gas shortage. Well, it appears. You know, appearances are reality. If you pull up to a gas station and they have no gas bags on the hoses, but we say, yeah, there's no shortage, but I see a shortage because there's no gas. So what are we missing?
Well, what we're missing is, and what we didn't foresee, Harold, is that, say, for example, on yesterday, gas demand in this country doubled and tripled because so many people wanted gasoline. So they stood in long lines or went in long lines to get gas in front of gas stations. And gasoline sales in this country spiked 200% in some markets yesterday. And in some markets, gasoline sales were up 300% in one day. Why? Because people are afraid of running out of gasoline. Our advice to motorists is don't even go and try to fill up. If you have a quarter of a tank of gasoline, that's probably... Now, most people don't have the extreme commutes that you have, Harold,
right,
where you're driving 70 or 80 miles per day. Most of us are commuting... The average commute in the Washington metro area is 30 miles per day. So with about a quarter or half a tank of gas, you could go into the weekend, and things are going to improve. The pipeline restarted today. The entire pipeline system, the Colonial Pipeline, is now delivering refined products to all the markets that it serves. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's still going to be tight for the next week. Prices are going to be high going into Memorial Day when 39 million Americans are traveling for the holiday. And, I'm sorry, more than 37 million Americans will be traveling for Memorial Day, which is an increase of 60% from last year, the lady a moment ago just alluded to, going into Memorial Day. But even with the increase over last year, that number is still off in terms of the number of people who traveled in 2019. It's down, still down 13%. But the sticker shock this year, we're paying across the nation $1.15. As of yesterday, prices went over $3. As of today, prices went over $3 in the Washington metro area. You mentioned pump prices. Since this day last week, Harold, the average price increase in the state of Maryland has been 17 cents a gallon. The average price increase in the state of Virginia, same pace, 17 cents. Price of gasoline in the District of Columbia is now $3.13 a gallon, and the price of gas in D.C. has been over $3 for the last 2 months. You mentioned filling up, Harold. That fill-up at this time last year cost you $27.45. Today, it's $46, and that's what people are seeing. So there was a natural inclination toward this fear factor, because people realize they are paying almost $20 more a week to fill up, and in some cases, depending on where you shop, $15 a week. But that's noticeable. But what people are forgetting, they are not being rational, because 2020 was a one-off. Do you remember what happened in April of last year with crude prices, Harold?
Yeah, they plummeted.
It plummeted and started trading at negative $37. Yeah, come on. That's below $37 below zero. And so pump prices dropped, and we enjoyed the cheapest gas because nobody was going anywhere. It is all about, and Dr. Daniels can talk about this more eloquently and grandiloquently than I can, and with more sophistication. It's all about supply and demand, that ancient law of supply and demand. And in this case, demand was so great that supplies were adequate, but when you have a 300% increase in people buying gas, the system can absorb it in one day.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the other extenuating factors, Dr. Daniels. I went to the grocery store on Monday. And I was actually off on Monday. And so, I'm sorry, on Tuesday. And when I had an opportunity to go, the grocery store was packed. And I'd never seen it packed like that. So is that part of this gas crisis, this mini gas crisis? And I think we've lost Dr. Daniels. We're going to have to try to pick him back up. But John, that was the thing that was concerning me, was that there seemed to be a rush on everything. Dr. Daniels, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Yeah, the thing that I was explaining was when I had an opportunity to go to the grocery store late morning, it was packed.
Right.
I usually go on the weekends. I was off on Tuesday. And I don't know whether or not that's normal, but it just seemed to me that all grocery stores were packed as I drove by heading to mine. Do you think that is an extension of this gas issue?
Absolutely. So it's directly related, because now people are thinking, if I don't have gas or I can't get gas, I need to get everything I need. So if I'll be stuck in my house, right? So if I can't drive to the grocery store, if I can't drive to, you know, wherever, I need to stock up on my essentials as well. So it's just one of those things where, you know, pretty much all the things like you see during a hurricane time or during, you know, natural disasters, it's all those things kind of just packed into one. And that's why the government really needs to step in and say, hey, listen, you know, this is not something that's going to last for weeks or months or anything like that. You know, we're only talking about possibly a few days of inconvenience, and maybe not even that, right? So, you know, I think when the news first came out, I don't think people really understood how people would react to it. But after a day of seeing how people reacted, there should have been a lot more communication about what there is to do. Now, I know we have a lot of issues going on with COVID and other things in our society. However, it's really important to communicate and let people know what to expect so they can know what not to do, because that can also lead to grocery prices, you know, going up, or scarcity, things running out, things like that. And then you're going to see the same problem as you see with gasoline, also with food and other necessities as well.
But so what should the messaging have been? Because this was not a tanker crash. This was not an Exxon Valdez or something like this. This was not the drill site in just off the coast of Louisiana. This was something that was very new.
Right.
This was a cyber hack. And those kinds of attacks, and they're becoming more frequent, but this is still a very new thing. And for it to attack one of the things that Americans consider essential is troubling. So what should the message have been?
Sure. I mean, it's definitely a troubling thing. But I think it should have just been expressed that, hey, we already have gas out there, right? So they should talk about how the supply chain actually works, right? So, yes, the pipeline is moving gas here, but really it would impact gas later on down the line, not at that particular moment. So at the particular moment, there was no shortage of gas, right? So there was plenty of gas. All the gasoline, all the stations were fully stocked. It was only when you had an excessive amount of demand that the supplies that we had got depleted. Now, what we should have done, or what should have been communicated, is that, hey, there may be limited gas over the next few weeks. So only get what you need. So we should have actually been buying less gas. Or, hey, why don't you cut out some non-essential trips? So if you were planning to do some non-essential things, let's go ahead and cut those out so we can make sure that we get through this slight emergency, and then after that, you know, you'll be able to get back to your normal life. So really, the message should have been to consume less, and we did the exact opposite, and we consumed more. And that's where we pretty much just doubled down and multiplied the problem and made it work twice as worse as it should have been.
But do you think that kind of messaging would have helped, as John said earlier in this conversation, human nature would very likely have driven the gas shortage? Because what you said makes sense, with people getting more than they normally would, taking gas tanks and everything else, that may very well have contributed to the shortage. And even if there wasn't a hack, if we had just this huge consumption of gasoline, we probably still would have seen the same thing, cyber hack or not.
Right. So I'll use an example of like Hurricane Tom, right? So in Florida, you know, I live in Florida, there's hurricanes every year. So we see this, right? We see times where there's possibilities that, you know, we could get completely cut off, no electricity, you know, gas stations might get shut down. Like, we have these Armageddon-type situations all the time. And even in those situations, people weren't buying as much gas as they were with this one, right? So even with Category 5 hurricanes, you know, in path coming, you didn't see people as buying as much gas as you did with this one. And the reason why is because with hurricanes, people know, okay, if the hurricane hits, it may be a week, maybe or so. People kind of knew what to expect. I think what could have been better was explaining, okay, what is the worst case scenario? How long could this possibly happen? You know, how could the supply be disrupted? So people can know, like, okay, maybe I could just chill in the house for a couple of days and it won't be a big deal. I think that was the thing. People not knowing how long it would last. So then they can know, okay, how much gas do I really need? So with people thinking it's a cyber hack, some people thought that we would never have gas again, or we wouldn't have gas for months or things like that. If they would have just communicated how long they anticipated it would last and what the impact would be, I think people would have made a lot more rational decisions. But now, of course,
well, hold that point. I need to take a break. And when we come back, John, I'll let you chime in. Also, I want to talk about, while we're waiting for a day or the next 3 or 4 days, what should we do and what should we not do while we're trying to get through this. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about this mini gas crisis caused by the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack, what you need to do and stop doing to manage it. So, John, you were going to comment before the break. Please, go right ahead.
No, I said, I think this, to comment on what, and to accentuate what Dr. Daniels was saying, this was a different kind of crisis, and I think how you're using the right adjective to describe it. It is a crisis because we've never seen anything like this. I mean, this was unprecedented, this attack. And for hurricanes, that we don't ever think of it this way, but a hurricane is mostly a localized event. It may hit a state, may even hit a couple of states. But this attack impacted gasoline in 14 states. And so it was of a greater scale, and the panic was of a greater scale than you would have were it a hurricane. The crisis like this will cause people to go into panic because, as Dr. Daniels was saying, they worry about whether there'll be gas for tomorrow. And they worry about going to the market or going to wherever they have to go. And so this thing is about letting cooler heads prevail. And it shows you, despite what I hear coming out of the district in places like where they say that people aren't driving as much, nothing about driving has changed. It's going to increase. Even if you go to electric cars, people are still going to drive. They're not going to hop on bicycles. They're not going to start walking unless they live in certain neighborhoods where you can do those things because you live in close proximity. The car is not a dinosaur. It is still the future of this country, and we need to shore up the infrastructure. And you look at what's happening on Capitol Hill, and you have this debate about the infrastructure package is too large. And why are you including the pipelines? Well, doggone it, now you know why you include the pipelines and why it's considered part of the infrastructure. And you're right, Washington did not do enough. And I just want to say something in all honesty. I was writing a gas price release last Friday, and this story broke. And even though I work at AAA, we didn't quite understand what was going on. It was only Saturday when I began the review. I said, uh-oh, this is going to be a major, major. And I sent it to all our managers. I got my first media call on Sunday. And even the networks weren't even talking about it. They would mention it. It was a 30-second story. But by Monday, I don't know what happened and why the public began to line up. And that's when it started. And this frenzy just started because motorists were smarter than we were. They perceived, well, at least I think they were, they perceived there's a major problem here. This dang pipeline is down. And I may be out of gas. So it was irrationally rational. And rationally irrational, if I can use that term.
Well, let me suggest this, John, that last Saturday was the first day, at least in the DMV, that we saw a region-wide reopening. And as a result, we saw more people in restaurants this weekend, this past weekend. People were driving more, and whether they filled up last week or may have had a half a tank on Saturday, chances are they did a lot of driving on Saturday. They did a lot of driving on Sunday, and they realized, well, it's time to get gas, and that's when the news broke.
Right.
And so there probably were a lot of empty tanks Sunday evening and Monday morning. So I pose this question to you. What should we not do and what should we do for the next several days as we wait to see how we move through this, John?
Well, the most important thing is to realize that supplies coming in, and even supplies being delivered by tank wagons. The other thing is that some of the critically hit spots where you had the run on gasoline, they're getting supply. But the second thing to realize is that this is not going to be resolved in a day. I think this pipeline, which runs 5,500 miles through 14 states and the District of Columbia, the flow of jet fuel, diesel, all in the same pipeline, and all in the same flow, gasoline and home heating oil, it only moves at 10 miles per hour. So you can think about 5,000 miles, how long that will take before it's really resupplied. And so it's going to be crucial for the next week to stop engaging in panic buying. That seems to be where everyone's mindset is. And they have to remember, there's plenty of supply. Just wait it out, and things will change for the better.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Dr. Daniels, about what we should and should not do as we wait for this situation to ease?
Yeah, I mean, just similar to what was already said, just relax. Just maybe plan a relaxing weekend at home. Just so you don't have to go out. You don't have to have gas. Don't go places that you don't have to go. And just let the supplies get resupplied, and I think we'll all be okay. It takes a couple of days of sacrifice. I think this is great. These are some lessons that we're learning as a nation throughout the COVID crisis and other things like that. Is that sometimes when we have these crisis situations, if everyone just sacrifices and does their little part, we can get through tough situations.
Yeah, but I still may have to go to the grocery store.
Well, yeah. Instead of driving the Jaguar, the V8 is trying to drive a four-cylinder. Harold, you will relate to this, being a man about town. You need to get some of the junk out of your trunk. Get all the stuff you stored in the trunk of your car during the pandemic, lighten the load, and then don't hog it, don't gun it, just drive at the speed limit, which nobody is doing, and you can conserve gas. There are ways that you can take matters into your own hand by the way you drive.
Well, let me just say about that junk in my trunk, I've been listening to you for quite some time, John, and as a result, the only thing that is in my trunk are recyclable grocery bags and an umbrella.
I won't tell the ladies that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's all there is. I mean, there's, I've listened to you, only during the winter do I put, the bag of salt.
So you won't fishtail.
Right, exactly. But other than that, my anyone who looks at my trunk, they say, gosh, your trunk is so neat. Yeah. I don't put anything in there. So I try to be smart and I try to be safe. And I think it is actually worth mentioning that, we've got to be nicer to each other at the gas station right now when we're all lined up. I mean, with the fisticuffs, the fender benders, and the bumper thumpers that we've seen, lately, all for gas, people trying to squeeze in. And I think if nothing else, is it really that important?
Harold, yeah. And so you're very cerebral. And I think what you said is by knowing the tips and knowing how to cope with this, one thing I want to say as you are closing out, there was a guy in one of those long gas lines in the Washington metro area tonight on a riding lawnmower.
Yes. see, that's unnecessary. Do you really need to cut your grass that much? Unless, of course, his neighbors are coming to his house with, pitchforks and torches because he hadn't cut his grass in a month and it looked like a forest. We're going to be okay, people. We're going to get through this. John Townsend and Dr. Christopher Daniels, thank you both for talking to us. Be safe out there, guys.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on this Thursday, May 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.